Absolutely not. I mean, I started out with this song about Eligeva that had made me curious about this concept of a song being forgotten. I just thought that if you wrote a song which was good, people would hear it and people would love it and people would sing it. But this one song made me ask myself whether there might be other songs out there that do not get the attention they deserve, or maybe do not even get played in at all. And I didn't think it would be a huge project. I thought that I would maybe find a song or two. Maybe I could cover a Victor Jara song, and maybe I could like find something from China or from one of these authoritarian regimes far away, and maybe make an EP out of it, or maybe have a song or two that I could use on my concerts. But when I started looking into it, it was just incredible how much material there was out there. Songs that are not only censored in faraway places and in authoritarian regimes, but in countries that we wouldn't think of to begin with. I mean, I found loads of music from Norway, from England, from Germany, from Western countries, from all over the world that fit into my description of not being performed. So it turned out to be a much larger project than I initially thought. And to be honest, that's also a little bit of the driving force behind it. Because, well, 3 years ago, if you asked me about censorship, I wouldn't know anything about it because it wasn't something I had thought about. But with this project, I've gotten insight into some of the scariest shit I've ever experienced. All this information that does not get or reach people's ears. I wet my pants when I talk about it. It's just so scary.
So you just said it. It is scary and it is maybe forbidden, censored, etc. Wasn't it difficult to convince your record label to put out these kind of songs?
Well, it's a good question because most record labels wouldn't allow their artists to do a project like this. But I've been lucky. I have a fantastic record label who has been encouraging this all the time. And I mean, it's been an awful lot of paperwork in order to get these songs approved. It's been an awful lot of work in order to just be sure that it's safe to do this for all the involved parties and so forth. But luckily, I've had people with me who have trusted in this and have given me that opportunity. I'm an extremely privileged person. I mean, it's a good idea. This whole concept of re-releasing illegal songs is a good idea in itself. And many people have asked me why didn't anybody come up with this idea before. And I don't think that's the right question. Other people have probably come up with the idea before, but you have to have so many privileges in order to be able to actually execute it. I mean, you have to have the money, you have to have the network with the record label and everything, and people around you who want to take part in it. You have to have friends who can steer you in the right directions. I mean, just to translate songs from 12 different languages is a whole lifetime of work, and all these different things. And on top of that, you need to come from a country that encourages free speech, and luckily I do that. So there are just so many things that need to be in place for a project like this to take place. Very often we think of privilege as something bad, that's something that should be abolished. But in this project, I've tried to use my white male Norwegian privilege to make heard voices that do not necessarily get heard, but definitely deserve to.
Yeah, you said that they deserve to be heard, but also you said that not all of the messages from the songs are messages you would spread. So I ask myself, how far, in your opinion, should free speech or the right to free speech go?
There is definitely a limit. I mean, there were songs that I didn't want to sing on this album. I mean, one of the first things I bumped into was a neo-Nazi Russian anthem, and it just physically hurt in my mouth to sing it. But the reason why I didn't want to sing it wasn't necessarily because it was so extremist. The reason why I didn't want to sing it was just because it didn't add anything valuable to any discussion at all. It was just sheer racism being performed. I don't think after a project like this, it's only 12 songs and I haven't made any golden rules from it, but it appears to me that freedom of speech should be a basic human right. And that as long as you do not encourage specifically violence to happen, I think that the term freedom of speech should be very, very, very flexible. All these 12 songs, I mean, as you said, there are songs here on the album that I wouldn't have written them myself. There's a narco corrido, a drug ballad from Mexico. There's also a song by Leo Chabot, who, yes, he has won the Nobel Peace Prize, but he has also encouraged the invasion of Afghanistan. He's been supporting the invasion of Iraq. He's been saying that China needs at least 300 years of occupation from Western nations in order to get on level with the Western countries, and so forth. Even though he's won a Nobel Peace Prize, he's absolutely nowhere near what I want to associate myself with. But still, I think his voice deserves to be heard. I think he deserves to have a place in the discussion. And it's so much more productive to let those voices be heard than throw them in prison and sort of make them into martyrs for their own case. Because you see that happening all the time. If you throw someone in jail, if you kill people for what they have said, you make them into martyrs for their case. And that's incredibly counterproductive when it comes to, well, encouraging constructive dialogue.
Well, you said you're privileged, but I read that also you had some issues performing those songs. Because you performed with a Russian orchestra and you were forced to quit Punk Prayer from the set list, if I'm right. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, of course, this project is controversial by default. It's what it is. And after we released it in September last year, we have, of course, had some obstacles. I mean, that can be everything from there's been music magazines who do not want to review the album because it's political and not music. There have been Western media that dearly want to discuss the album itself but do not want to discuss the songs specifically because they're too controversial. I've had an incident on the BBC where I was invited to come and discuss the album, but I wasn't allowed to discuss the topics of it.
To discuss the BBC topic?
Especially and particularly the BBC topic. There's a song on the album that was censored by the BBC in 1991, and when I visited the BBC a few days after the release, they wanted to talk about the album, but they didn't want to talk about the song that they themselves had censored. They only wanted to talk about Putin and about the Islamists and all the things that they consider to be enemies. These are things that you wouldn't think that occurred in the Western world, but they do. And that's like the double power of censorship. It censors a message, but it sort of disappears as well. Those who get censored can't talk about it, at least not immediately. So of course there have been obstacles to this release, and one of them, one of the perhaps most famous ones, was when the Russian consulate in Norway stopped the performance of Punk Prayer with a Russian orchestra on Norwegian soil because in Russia, Pussy Riot Punk Prayer has now been included on a list of extremist material and can therefore result in prison sentences if a Russian musician performs it, even abroad. So, on our tour in November last year, we actually had to remove a song from the set list, Punk Prayer, because it was too dangerous to play it. And some people like
say that it's extremely ironical that Modi would remove a song from his set list when he's explicitly singing about censorship, but that's not irony. That's what this project is about. Songs that are so dangerous that it can still be dangerous to sing them on Norwegian soil. And that is a thought that is simply so unheard of to most Norwegians that they don't, they can't even believe that it's true.
Let's talk about the song that was banned by the BBC, Army Dreamers by Kate Bush. I wondered a little bit why you included it on the record, because Kate Bush is a known artist and the song is quite known, and the other songs are really forbidden, or most of the people in Western countries won't have heard about it. So why was it so important to include this one?
I included Army Dreamers on the album because people like to think of censorship as something which happens through violent means and something which happens to very explicitly political messages. While one of the things that I realized when I started with this project is how much music isn't played on the radios, isn't performed on the largest festivals, isn't even released because it's considered to be sensitive or controversial or too explicit. You have the explicit lyrics, the parental advisory stickers in the US, where basically everything gets labeled. Both Punk Prayer and Open Letter from the album are considered explicit in the iTunes store. And won't get distributed in, for example, Walmart in the US. Everything that mentions drugs or sex or rock or alcohol or having fun or anything which tells a story, basically, is excluded from radio playlists. When, after the 9/11 attacks, Clear Channel removed every song containing Airplane, Fire, or New York from their playlists, and they own 1,400 radio channels. So these may be like mild censorship forms in the way that it isn't strictly forbidden and it isn't strictly illegal to play them. But when you look at how it's executed and how these small things, how these little details, these lists and all these efforts to protect the listeners from explicit messages, how they add up in the end, then you realize that there are so many layers that a song needs to pass through before it gets to the listener's ear, that basically everything that you hear on the radio, basically everything that you hear on a Western festival, has been filtered so much that there's absolutely no content left. And that's why when you turn on the radio in any Western country, try to see how long you'll have to wait for before you hear a song which is critical to what our society is like. A song which is critical towards consumerism, a song that is critical towards our own media, towards our own government, to our own warfare in the third world, to drones, to what we've been doing in Syria, and so forth and so forth. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And I take that to be the proof that when there are so many layers of protection for the listener, it ends up just stripping music of all meaning. That scares me even more than the thought of musicians in Vietnam getting imprisoned or Russian musicians getting beaten up by the police after concert, because it's so visible. You can see it happening. But this stuff, these mechanisms that filter out the music that you and I get to hear, they're so subtle. They're so difficult to trace. They're so difficult to prove. It's almost difficult to talk about it because you can't even prove it other than saying it's not there and it isn't there. Just a last example of how it goes. I mean, when we released Army Dreamers, the single, the Norwegian public broadcaster NRK said that it was a beautiful song and it had a beautiful or a strong message, and Modi's version of Kate Bush's song is absolutely fabulous. But sadly, we can't play it because it's summer and our listeners want to sort of have some time off and have fun and have a cozy time. And this song isn't exactly cozy, so no thank you. And this is like, of course, radio stations should be allowed to play cozy songs. But as I said, these little things add up to a pattern of explicit political music not being played. And Army Dreamers almost hasn't been played on radios.
Yeah, I was wondering about if this song that was a hit back in the 80s, if it would be today. And I think it wouldn't be.
It wouldn't be, because as I said, the message... It was a huge hit when Kate Bush released it in 1980, but if it was released today, I'm 100% sure that someone would have given it less priority because of the explicit message.
And it isn't so explicit in the end.
it's extremely difficult to hear what she's singing, and the song isn't overtly political. It's about a boy. It's about a soldier who dies, and that happens all the time. I mean, the Gulf War, where Army Dreamers was censored. I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of people did that war kill? You could have made a song about all those numbers, but she didn't. She sang about one small, maybe insignificant death, and even that is too much.
Let's come back to the project Unsongs. It's the second record in a row where you play material that is not written by you. I wondered if you wrote songs by yourself while working on that project.
Mostly, I've dedicated my whole life to this. Not just the album, but also the documentary project on unsongs.com. I've started writing a book, which is going to be released in October. There's just been so much going on with this album that I haven't been able to do much of my own music, to be honest. And in a way, it's a pity, but at the same time, I don't know if my life is the most important thing to sing about these days. I mean, I'm a fairly well-off person. When you look at what's happening in the world, there are so many people who deserve to have their story told rather than me. And still, the music business is rigged in a way that prioritizes my voice. So rather than singing about my own boring white Norwegian life, I want to use my voice to sing about others, at least for now.
But with all the time that you spent with material from other persons, do you think it will affect the way that you write songs?
Well, of course. You just don't go through a project like this without getting influenced by it. You don't go through it without getting colored by all this music, all these stories. I mean, truly, all these 12 texts that I've translated are masterpieces of both lyrical and musical masterpieces. And of course, when I one beautiful day start writing my own songs again, of course I will be inspired by that then.
Coming to the end, you turned 30 this year. And well, for some people it is the point in life where you say, okay, what I'm doing now I'm going to do my whole life. So would you agree with that, being in terms of being a professional musician?
Well, I just finished my master's degree within, sociology. I've been writing about the development within the steel production companies in Norway and their environmental footprint. So yes, I will definitely be doing what I'm doing at the moment. I'll be doing a little bit of music, a little bit of documentaries, a little bit of writing books, and hopefully I can involve myself in industrial matters and maybe a little bit of environmental protection as well. If I can do that until I turn 70, 80, I think I still will be looking back at my life thinking, oh Jesus, there was so much I wanted to do and I didn't have the time.